MacGyver, SG-1, Chapter 6, With a Bang. Present day. A sealed room, a ticking clock, and three prisoners looking for a way out. Time was running out. Carter was trying to push the sealed cellar door up while Jack took the gun out of his belt. Maybe I could shoot through the pipes. No, that won't work. Mac appreciated his brother's efforts, but he'd just be wasting his bullets. There's nothing to work with anywhere. The troubleshooter always counted on random things laying around. But what do you do when that's not an option? Wait. His eyes darted over to Jack's weapon. Sam, start taking all the gunpowder out of these bullets. He stunned Jack by taking the gun from his hands and with one swift motion released the clip, discharging the bullets in the chamber before handing the empty gun back to the general. Without looking, he handed the ammo to Carter as he approached and started knocking on different spots along the wall. As he heard the tone change near the metal frame of the door, he opened his Swiss Army knife and cut along the seam. Jack, help me tear the wall away, will you? Yeah. After handing his knife to Carter for her to use the pliers tool on the bullets, Mac joined Jack as they peeled away the drywall to reveal the metal workings of the steel door. He leaned in to look over the tracks for anything that could release the lock keeping them trapped. Only a couple minutes left. MacGyver reached in and grabbed a thin pipe running down the frame. Jack squinted. What is that? That's our way out. Sam, those bullets ready yet? She looked up from her task to meet his gaze. Almost. I got most of the tops off. All right, that'll have to do. The troubleshooter folded the knife and placed it back in his pocket as his other hand grabbed a few of the shells full of gunpowder. As Carter brought over the rest of the shells to him, MacGyver started pouring the powder around the joint where the pipe was braced to the wall. Once a decent mound formed, he turned to the other two. Got a light? They both shook their heads as their hands quickly searched their pockets in vain. Mac's heart sunk, and his pulse raced as he felt time running out. Suddenly, he spun on his heels to his brother. Jack, give me your phone. The general quickly took it from his pocket and handed it over. Yeah, it isn't working, you know. No, not as a phone. With that, MacGyver knelt down and smashed Jack's cell phone off the ground and cracked it open. As he pried it apart and reached for his knife, Jack stood stunned. That's my phone. As Mac unfolded the blade, Colonel Carter looked on, ready to be of assistance. What are you doing? Without looking up, MacGyver answered, Well, even if the phone isn't working, we could still use the battery. He cut the end off the terminal on the small square piece. If I run my knife along the exposed end, it'll short circuit. He continued as sparks popped out. Then, we just cut into the battery, exposing the lithium to the oxygen. And with a loud hiss and smoke, the device caught flame. MacGyver quickly ran it over and held it to the pipe. As the gunpowder ignited, the joints of the pipe erupted in a flash of fire and burned out. The troubleshooter yanked the pipe away from the wall, exposing the wires inside. Less than 30 seconds left. As his brother worked on the wiring, Jack and Sam braced themselves at the door, ready to lift it open. Suddenly, as Mac touched the last two wires, the solid heavy door flew open. Come on! Jack yelled as Carter ran up and out the cellar steps to freedom outside. 5 seconds. MacGyver's fingers twisted the wires together as he pushed Jack through the open door with his other hand. Go! 2 seconds. Just as MacGyver's feet reached the yard, the house burst into a fiery explosion. The concussive blast was so powerful the three were pushed off their feet and thrown towards the old wooden garage that sat on the other side of the backyard. Since he was closest to the house, MacGyver instantly got the wind knocked out of him and was slammed headfirst into the old gray planks and knocked unconscious. Faint sounds started to register, and color swirled in front of him as MacGyver's eyes cracked open. Eventually, he would recognize the blurs as Jack and Sam, who were hunched over him trying to wake him up. "Hold still. You have a concussion." Carter was holding a piece of cloth to the back of his head.
"Oh, God.
Did we make it?" he asked. "Well, either that or heaven's really disappointing," his brother quipped. As it came into focus, Matt could make out the glow of the burning house and see all the pieces of glass and smoldering wood that surrounded them. He realized the concerned look on Carter's face and reached back to feel the moist spot on his head. "Ow. Yeah, you got cut from some of the debris. Can you stand?"
"Yeah, I think so."
"Good. We gotta go in case they come back." The general was worried since they'd be outmanned and outgunned if they did. With a firm arm around each side, the two assisted the troubleshooter to his feet and headed to the car. They cut through the neighbor's yard to avoid the heat and climbed into the SUV. Carter sat in the back to keep an eye on her brother-in-law. They headed to MacGyver's place, since that was where they had planned on staying while they were in town. It was starting to get dark, so they probably wouldn't be making any more progress today anyway. Plus, they were out of leads and wanted Mac to rest. Once they got there, they were greeted by Cindy, whose excited smile quickly changed to concern upon seeing her husband. "He's okay," Jack said before she could ask what happened. But she did anyway.
"Oh, you know, the usual. Empty house, sealed doors, bomb," Mac answered as he greeted his wife with a hug and a peck on the lips. Her focus was on him with worried eyes.
"Are you hurt?"
"Been better. I just need to rest a bit,"
he said as he winced while taking off his jacket and headed to the couch to lay down. Both Jack and Sam were taking turns greeting Cindy with a hug when Caitlin came around the corner. She had heard voices from her room.
"Uncle Jack! Aunt Sam!"
she squealed as she ran and enthusiastically embraced the two in one big hug. "Hey, sweetie." Jack gave a warm smile as he squeezed her.
"How have you been?"
He's always had a soft spot for his niece and thought of her as his own.
"Great! I think I won the science award at school. Want to see what I built?"
Her eyes glanced over to Carter, who was more inclined to appreciate her creative side.
"Definitely. Let's go,"
she said as she took the girl's hand.
"Hang on. Still need my hug,"
Mac announced from the couch, causing Caitlin to run over to her dad before he could finish. Her impact practically knocked the air out of him.
"Hey, baby."
"Hi, Dad. You okay?"
she asked as he kissed the top of her head.
"Yeah, just a little banged up. I'll be fine."
"If you want, you can take Aunt Sam into your room and show her what you've been working on."
"Okay. Love you, Dad."
She gave him another quick hug.
"Love you too, kiddo,"
he told her as she got up and hurried over to lead Carter off by her hand. As Max settled back onto the couch, Cindy and Jack smiled at her and waited for her to leave the room. Once they were out of sight, Cindy sternly turned to Jack. "Okay, Jack, what did you do to my husband?"
"Nothing. It was all him, I swear. Right, Mac?"
"Mac, He peered over to the couch, hoping his brother could vouch for him, but realized he was alone since Mac had drifted off.
No, I'm serious.
He wasn't sure how much time had passed, but eventually MacGyver woke up by the giggles and lowered voices of the others standing in the kitchen. He noticed a light blanket tucked around him and figured Cindy attended to him while he slept.
Yeah.
As he lay there, he glanced out the window and saw it was night. Next to the window was Colonel Carter typing away at the PC. Probably following a lead, he thought.
So wait. He had them stuck to the floor?
Cindy giggled at the thought of it.
That's what he said.
Must have taken them a while to scrape them up, too.
That might be why Detective, what was his name? Was so cranky when we got there.
Jack took a sip of the beer his sister-in-law kept in the house for him when he visited, much to Mac's dismay.
Malter,
Carter added once she saw Mac was awake.
What? His name was Malter,
she clarified.
Ah, right.
What a shrub he was. Now that they saw that Mac was awake, they didn't have to whisper. Caitlin walked over to look over Carter's shoulder to see what she was working on, and ran her hand through her father's hair as she passed with a proud smile.
Hey, did you notice he never said anything about us looking alike?
What?
Jack's focus shifted to his brother, who sat up.
That detective. He never said anything when you walked up.
Cindy and Caitlin looked on as the brothers tried to recall the event silently. Carter smirked as she stared at the screen in front of her.
I think it was the fact that Jack bulldozed over him. He never had a chance to notice.
The other three looked at Jack.
Well, I may have been a little intimidating.
He looked up at the two faces about to eye roll with sarcasm.
Besides, I don't think we looked alike at all.
Now all faces were staring back in disbelief.
What?
Oh. Clearly I'm the handsome one. At this, MacGyver pushed himself up onto his feet.
And the more modest.
This caused smiles around the room. As he entered the kitchen area, he was greeted halfway with a hug from Cindy.
How you feeling, honey?
Better, actually.
Miss anything?
Jack and Sam were telling us all about the excitement you guys had. Jack smirked at the two as she grabbed a bottle of orange juice from the fridge and handed it to her husband. Besides being happy for the two, it caused him to share a knowing smile with Carter, still typing away at the computer. Jack noticed a sudden grumble in his midsection and realized he hadn't eaten all day. The others noticed it too.
Hungry?
Mac asked. Caitlin's eyes grew big.
Pizza!
She asked. The three exchanged glances as they nodded in agreement.
Sure, honey.
Where did I put my phone? Her mom looked around the room while patting her pockets. Mac dug into his own.
Here you go. Use mine.
Jack looked on stunned at what was happening in front of him.
Hey. What's that?
Mac looked down and slowly back up.
A phone?
Your phone?
Yeah.
A phone you could have used instead of breaking mine? Cindy slowly backed away while Mac searched for an answer.
Oh, yeah. So,
you could have used your own.
Well, yeah. Then why didn't you?
Well, because then my phone would have been broken, Mac said with a teasing smile at the less than pleased Jack. He couldn't help himself and continued.
Besides, Jack, do you have any idea how expensive a phone can be?
Thanks to you, I'm about to. Both Carter and Cindy exchanged glances as they giggled at their spouses back and forth. Just as a smile started to reluctantly form on Jack's face, Carter switched gears.
Hang on. I may have something.
Everyone started to move from the kitchen area and gather around her. Okay. I managed to get the license plate off that van we saw leaving the house. It was registered to a Phil Smith. Probably an alias. Jack leaned in to look at the screen. You think? Now the van was registered to the house. But the house is part of a few properties owned by the Netan Corporation. She looked back at Jack, who was putting the pieces together for himself. Netan. Wasn't he the leader of the Alliance? She nodded in confirmation as she turned back to continue. Now most of these places are houses throughout the area. But one place stands out. It's an airplane hangar about 20 minutes from here. Both Jack and Mac looked at each other with trepidation. You don't think. Dalton? They both turned to Carter for confirmation. She glanced down and scanned the screen. Nope. The hangar's name is... Westcott. The two relaxed as the tension faded. Jack Dalton was Mac's friend since childhood, but could be a bit... much. He meant well, but always had a get-rich-quick scheme under his belt, and usually it involved Mac. O'Neill met him a few years ago, and still hadn't recovered. Well, might as well get going while it's dark. The troubleshooter walked over to the coat rack near the front door and started to put on his brown bomber jacket and ran his hand through his disheveled hair. The other four were staring back at him, stunned. What? Are you nuts? Jack was never one to mince words. A few hours ago, you had your head slammed into the side of a garage after escaping a fireball. You're sitting this one out. Mac had flashes of his father. Thanks, Jack. But I'm fine. Carter chimed in. Jack's right, Mac. I'm pretty sure you had a concussion. You should be resting. He appreciated what they were trying to do. I did rest. All better. See? He did a little shuffle and shook his arms like a boxer trying to convince a referee he could continue the fight. Jack turned to Cindy out of frustration. Little help? Cindy took a moment and measured both sides of the argument. Logically, they are right, honey, she said as she made her way over to her husband and wrapped her arms around him. However, I honestly think you guys make a great team. You need each other. This brought a smug smile to MacGyver's face as he looked at his frustrated twin and draped an arm over her shoulders. Besides, do you really think you could stop him? Jack turned his head towards Carter and mumbled, where's a zap when you need one? Before long, the three were parking the SUV on a dirt road next to an acre of field that surrounded the runway that led to a large hangar. As the three made their way through the tall grass, they could see the hangar door was open and lights were on. Mac was fighting back a headache, but figured the rush of adrenaline would help. Once they reached the edge of the unkempt field, they could make out an armed guard circling the building's perimeter. Putting a hand on his brother's back, Mac said, I've got this, and snuck up to the side corner the henchman was walking towards. Once he heard the crunch of the boots on the gravel, Mac clenched his fist and braced himself. Just as the armed man rounded the corner, his nose was met with MacGyver's fist and all the strength he could throw behind it. As the man dropped like a stone, Mac shook his hand in pain. It wasn't like the movies. Hitting someone hurts. Jack and Carter climbed out of the shadows and lined themselves up next to the troubleshooter, whose hand was still throbbing as he tossed the rifle away. My turn, Jack said as he took point with Colonel Carter close behind. First, he peeked around the corner to a well-lit open space of rows of tall shelves and open crates. The walls were tall sheets of gray metal held in place by the brown steel beams typically used in the construction of skyscrapers. There was a higher level of office space along the one wall at the top of the metal stairway. Many of the boxes had the lids off, with styrofoam packing peanuts almost filling them to the top and scattered on the floor throughout the area. There were used lettering stencil and spray cans in various places near the wooden boxes. Some of the paint was still drying on a few that read, Valley Green Winery. As Jack reached into one of the boxes looking for what he figured would be alien tech, Mac walked into the oddly large open space near the hangar door, searching the floor for clues. Ow! He reached up and grabbed his head with his hand and reached out with the other. He could feel something there, but didn't see anything there. He looked back at the others, who were staring in confusion. Guys, he called as he rubbed away the pain. Jack and Carter glanced around as they made their way to the open space. Jack reached out to touch and turned to address Sam.
Telstar?
Teltac. Right. MacGyver looked down as he kept feeling for the edges for a door.
A small cargo ship? He guessed.
Essentially, yeah. Carter confirmed as she joined the two. For some reason, something caused both Jack and MacGyver to glance up at the second floor office window that hung over the large storage hangar. It was a shadow of a moving figure, a figure who now was staring down at them. Before they could say anything or move, the man ran over to the railing and opened fire on them. In that moment, they each knew they were about to be riddled with bullets. Or would have been, if not for the invisible ship that was in front of them, and now sparking as the bullets ricocheted off of it. More men were joining from the top as Jack, Sam, and Mac dove behind some crates. The aura of the ship's invisible shielding was rippling with each bullet, giving the SG members a clear boundary of the safe zone. Jack was the first to use this to his advantage, and he returned fire, picking off one of the men, causing him to fall forward off the high level and come crashing down on the floor below. 5, then 10 more men were firing down on him, with automated weapons and zat guns. MacGyver did his part by making himself a target behind the barrier of the invisible ship, while Carter and O'Neill picked each enemy off one by one. It was working, until the ship's cloaking turned off and became visible. Mac had an idea but didn't have time to inform the others. He ran over to the bulky gray and gold ship and felt for a door switch. With a click, a doorway slid open and MacGyver went inside, causing Jack to wonder just what his brother was up to now. Just as he lost sight of his twin in the ship, one of the men on the upper level lobbed a grenade in front of the two SG members, and in an act of complete heroism or stupidity, Jack knocked it away and under a row of the many metal racks. 15 feet high racks, 20 feet long, that stored the crates ready to be shipped out to the highest bidder. As Jack realized where the grenade rolled, he made a split-second decision and grabbed Carter by the scruff of her collar and yanked her behind the row of crates. Get down! Was all he could get out as the explosion ripped through the side of the hangar and pushed the towering racks down on them. The members of the Lucian Alliance took advantage of the blast and ran down the metal stairs. A few held back near the ship as a couple of their deadlier shots took the initiative to head into the wreckage to finish the job. It was silent as the two soldiers made their way through the smoking metal and wood. Maybe the crates and steel did the job for them and it was over. Both men fell back dead as the rest noticed the glint from Jack's automatic being aimed out of the twisted metal and pointing back at them. The last of the men dove into the open doorway of their ship as the general emptied the last of his clip into the closest. The ship's door slid closed as the engines ignited and took the large hulk into the air and out into the open hangar door. As Jack pulled himself and Carter from the debris, he looked on as the gray mass rose up towards the atmosphere, then disappeared as the ship's cloaking was turned on again. Carter leaned on her husband for support. She was pretty sure her ankle was sprained. If they hadn't used the nearest crates for cover, she was sure the outcome would have been much worse. She looked up at Jack's face. It wasn't just anger she saw. There was worry and fear. "They got away," she said, and just stared out. Yeah. With Mac.
The MacGyver SG-1 audio series is written, performed, and produced by Mac Jackson. Original music by Brian Basowski. Additional artwork by Jared Brown of Darkstream Studios, Nathan Shell of Commission Credentials, and Ermel Mall. Please rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher. Join our Facebook group and follow on Twitter at MacWJackson. Donations on PayPal at MacWJackson@comcast.net. Special thanks to Richard Dean Anderson and everyone in the MacGyver and Stargate family. Thanks for joining the adventure.